I'm not so sure I understand this. Let's try to figure this out. We did this yesterday. We started this yesterday, page Kuf Mem. We are on page Kuf Mem. Okay, Kuf Mem. We're up to the line, V'chashoyv l'cha shtei oisi ois kaf kaf. Okay, let's try to figure out how to read the parish on the side. Page Kuf Mem. It's the right before the paragraph of Chol Hamarachim ala Achzor. Before we come to the bottom paragraph, go up, one, two, three, four lines. We were in the middle discussing this idea that a technique a person should use in his mind when he is presented with an opportunity to do a mitzvah, and he chooses, and it's very, very easy for him not to do the mitzvah, and yet he chooses not to do the mitzvah. That is very, very severe. A person is judged based upon his effort. It is punished based upon how easy it could have been to do the mitzvah. So here he gives an example. V'chashoyv l'cha, make the following calculation. Shtei oisi ois chof chof, or kaf kaf. I will see what that means in a moment. Perish, chof chof kol kol. Let's hold back 1 second. We'll read the perish and see what he means by this. Ki chol se'oin so'ein. Okay, there's a pasuk. Every measurement is a measurement. Okay, the word so'in means a measurement. Ki kol olam nida mida b'mida. The entire world is judged. Hashem judges a person mida k'neged mida. Shemar tachas asher lo avadeta es Hashem lokecha b'simcha v'tuv leivav mirev kol v'yavadeta es leivecha asher yishalchenu Hashem b'cha b'rav v'tzamu v'erem v'v'choyser kol. He matches up two very frightening psukim in the toichecha. In the Teichecha it says that the reason why we are suffering, the reason why Hashem is a very frightening person, the reason why we suffer all the curses and pains of the Teichecha Parashas Kisavoy is because we did not serve as Hashem Olokecha b'simcha uvituv leivav and with a good heart meroiv kol. When Hashem has given us an abundance of everything, Hashem has given us numerous opportunities. Meroiv kol. Kol means everything you can possibly want is available, not in small amounts, in large amounts. You had many, many opportunities to do mitzvahs, and the point he's making is the continuation we learned yesterday. It was so, so easy. It was not at all difficult. And you chose not to do it. You know what? I'm not interested. I'm just not interested. So for that, HaKadosh Baruch Hu gets very angry. Because if it's so easy, then you have no excuse. If it's difficult, okay, I understand. Then there's an excuse why you can't do the mitzvah. But if it's very easy, there is no excuse. Therefore, mida kineged mida, this is the toichacha, I'm going to cause suffering, and in the suffering you will be lacking kol, even the basic necessities of life, the bare basics. And that's the second pasuk. Because you did not serve Hashem b'tov lev meroiv kol, what is going to be the mida kineged mida? As we just said, the so'on so'ein. Everything in this world is measure per measure. Pasuk in Yeshaya, that's what the pasuk includes. V'yavadeta es oyevecha, you will serve your enemy. Asher yishalchenu Hashem bach, that Hashem will send into your country. You will serve him. Bira'av will send upon you. Bira'av in a state of starvation. Uvit sama, thirst. Uvit erom, nakedness. Uvit choyser, you will be lacking coil. So the Sefer Chassidim is giving us a very profound insight into the toichicha to match up these two psukim of tachas, ashalavata, ashalavata, besimcha, uvituv leivov, meirov coil. Mida k'neged mida is choyser koil. How do we know there's such a principle in this world of mida k'neged mida? Well, it's specified in the pasuk in Yeshaya, ki chol se'oin soyein. For every measure, there is a measure. Hashem judges a person mida k'neged mida. And now, with that, we go backwards to explain the calculation of what it means, the shtei oisi ois kaf kaf. Now, what in the world does that mean, kaf kaf? So Baruch Hashem, we're lucky we have over your parish on the side that tells us about there are two kafim. There's the chaf pshuta and the chaf kifufa. Right? In the letters of the aleph bays, there's the end chaf, and then there is the regular chaf. The regular chaf is closed. It's closed. It's like a horseshoe on the side, like the letter bays to some degree. And then there is the other chaf, the chaf shuta, which extends all the way down. So look on the side, page kuf mem, on the side, on the right side, where it says, Mashem of a chashav ki kol ha'ilam nidan shlemar tachas, ratzolaymar. Minolon ze shamanu shamonea hamitzah b'mnei ha'boishas sheyispayish b'farhesya. How do we know this idea of midah k'neged midah? That if a person chooses, he gave many examples. One example was that a person does not want to do a mitzvah because I'm embarrassed. I'm embarrassed to do the mitzvah. The Torah said you have no choice. Do the mitzvah even if you are embarrassed. And if you choose not to do the mitzvah, then guess what? You'll be embarrassed and immediately punished. Midah k'neged. Immediately you'll be embarrassed publicly for something that's not so pleasant. How do you know this? Shemispais of Hesya, b'nei, because of the general rule, b'nei shakadosh baruch hu dones adam mida b'mida. The chashoyv l'cha, and here is his example, the sefer chasidim shtei oisiyos, the chaf kifufa, the chaf peshuta. In the aleph beis, there is the regular chaf and the end chaf, or the chaf soifis. I once said that to a chasidish rebbe. I said to him, I said, the chaf soifis. So he stops me and he says to me, where did you go to Yeshiva Ketana? What did you just say? He said, the chof soifis. I said soifis. So he says to me, where did you go to Yeshiva Ketana? I said, MTJ, of Moshe Feinstein's Yeshiva. So he's very surprised, because that's how they teach in the very not the very modern tzionim, the tzionim, ivrit is, that's how they teach. You say the chaf, the soifis, the end less, so in the end soifis, whatever. That's how I was taught. So I'm very surprised. That's how they taught you in MTJ to say the chaf soifis. That's what they taught you?
It was probably that particular Rebbe. Yeah, you know, that was the English school.
Who taught me? I don't even know who taught me. I don't even remember.
Rabbi Sklar was still teaching you.
No, Rabbi Lurcher was the second grade.
Rabbi Lurcher. Okay.
And the first grade was Rabbi Blank.
Okay.
Rabbi Blank, Rabbi Blank, and Rabbi Lurcher, Rabbi Odak, third grade. And kindergarten.
Did you have a third grade?
Rabbi Odak.
Odak.
Odak. Odak.
Moved
them
up to the third grade.
As long as they didn't move him down, right? Whatever it was. So he said to me, that's, I'm surprised, chof soifis? That's how you pronounce it? You should say the end chof.
Ender.
Ender in Yiddish.
Ender.
Ender. Ender. Ender. Ender. Ender. I said, that's not the way I was taught. All right, so let's, whatever it is. So
I
here we have.
Do what Moshe said. You take all the like the pain, you bend it down, and you get the soap in.
Right.
That's
okay.
That's the Vilna Gaon, by the way. That's the Vilna Gaon. The Lord Sikos, it's the other club, your people, and your own. So I'm tip-tapping. Don't go, you know, like this. If you have your fist closed.
All right, so there are two fists.
That's a grub.
There's a closed fist. What does it mean, a calf? A calf means a spoon. Or it sometimes means the palm of your hand. Because your hand is like a spoon. It's a receptacle. Okay, your hand is similar to, it literally means a spoon. But your hand also is called a calf because the hand is a receptacle. So there is a chaf kifufa, which means stinginess. Stinginess. My hand is closed. I'm not giving you nothing. And then there's a chaf, a palm, that's pshuta. It's open wide. Pasoyach tiftach es yadcha. Open up your hand. Open up your hand. It should be a chof peshuta. Open up your hand. Tehainu. Now he says here, there's a kaf moznayim. There is a scale. There is the palm of the scale. Neged kaf moznayim. Now we have on a scale, two sides of the scale, two different kafim, two different receptacles. The achar, ha-chof, after the letter chof in the aleph base comes the lamed, ha-lamed, the aleph base. The chol chof, mishnei ha-kapim, im ha-lamed. Now here's this chiddush, when you take the chof, and you add, and then you append it to its neighbor. Toiv l'rasha, toiv l'shchena. So what comes after the chaf comes the lamed. So there's a chaf peshuta, and we connect it to the lamed, and there's a chaf kafuf that we connect to the lamed. Now you'll say there's no such thing in the Hebrew language of having an ender chaf next to a lamed. Well, this is drush. Ein meshivin al hadrush. So he's basically telling us now there are two words called koil. You ever hear such a drush like this? It's an amazing drush from the Sefer Chassidim. There are two koils. There's a chaf lamed and a chaf lamed, but they're not the same. There's a chaf lamed that the chaf is a chaf pshuta, a long chaf, and then a lamed. It's not the way we write, because we never write an endo next to a lamed, but a chaf. What? Right, or the lamed at the end, but here he's giving us a mashal. There's a chaf pshuta on the lamed, and there's a chaf that is closed, that is a lamed. So he's telling us these two calls are hinted to in the two calls in these two psukim that we just mentioned. Further, v'chol kaf mishnei hakafim im halamed, with its neighbor, produces the word Yesh Milas Koil. Vine, Perish Chof Chof Kol Kol. So here the Sefer Chassidim says something which literally without this Perish makes absolutely no sense. It's only because he came to the rescue of the Perish Kadma and is deciphering what the Sefer Chassidim means. And it's only discernible really because how he concludes is here he says V'chashev l'choshtei oisiyos Chof Chof Perish Chof chof, kol kol. What he really means is take the chof and add the lamet. And being that there is a double chof, a chof pshuta chof, chof kefufa, it's coming to allude to meroiv koil and bechoyser koil. Choyser kol, let's see how he explains it. Kol chof kol kol, shemram is al milas kol, he calls sa'oin sa'oin, measure per measure, the al milas tehei. Miroiv kol va'avoidas of the choiser kol she'olam nida midigamid machshavos amsum elu. Period. What basically means is, and I'm assuming what it means over here is that roiv. Let's learn like this. You learn one of two ways, but let's learn like this. The chaf kefufa is the beginning. The beginning of the taychacha begins. Hashem gives you opportunities. Hashem provides you meroiv koil with a chaf kifufa. The chaf kifufa is not the end of a word, it's the beginning. In the beginning, the Ribbono Shel Olam gives you opportunities. If you fail to take advantage of these opportunities, then, Rachmana Litzlan, you're going to end up with the chaf, the end, ender chaf, which is the end of the teichecha, Uvichoiser koil. We go from meroiv koil, the beginning, to mechoiser koil is the end. That's one approach. Or you can say, achof kifuf, opposite. Achof pshuta means you have everything. Your hand is open, or maybe the other way around, let's say like this. Achof pshuta means you have nothing. It means you have nothing. You're like a poor man. A poor man puts out his hands to beg. When you daven, there's such an Indian where a person should daven, he's supposed to open up his hands. You open up, you're like a beggar. Hashem, we're totally dependent upon you. So when you open up your hand, you're basically expressing, I have nothing. I am in a matzav of mechoyser koil. But when you have, your hands are closed, it means I have something. I possess. I have something in my possession. So if a person does not take advantage of serving Hashem when he is in a matzif of meroiv koil, the chof kifufa, chof lamed koil, the chof and its neighbor, chof lamed, a chof kifufa, when you possess, you do not take advantage and use your resources to serve Hashem. Rachmana Litzlan, it could lead to a situation where Hashem will take away all everything that you have, and you will be in a massive of uvichoyser kol. Your calf will be wide open. There'll be nothing left in your hand. You'll be empty.
It makes more sense because physically, the kefufa is like a vessel.
You hold something. Drops. You have nothing. Okay, there's another very famous medrash. You probably know the medrash said that we compare a baby, a newborn child, to a person who dies. When a baby is born, today it's one of the first things the doctor does, is a baby is born with clenched fists. It's a mitzvah. Google it. Maybe you remember when you were born. A baby is born with clenched fists. And the fact that the first one of these things, they go and they put their finger, their thumb, in the hand of the palm of a baby. And the baby, no, closes. And it's supposed to close. Then doctors over here are supposed to close. And if it doesn't close, that's a very bad sign. It means there's something wrong. There's something wrong, and there's a problem. It's a healthy thing when the baby should be like this. And Rachmana Litzlan, Achaneh Hashem, when the person dies, the hand is wide open. So the Medrash comments, Mayhai, what's the pshat? When a baby comes into this world, his fists are clenched. And when he leaves this world, his hands are like this. The Medrash says, when a person comes into the world, he comes with gaiva. I am going to conquer this world. I will achieve. I will be dominant. The chifshua mandate. And when a person leaves this world, he says, Nu, what did I accomplish? I'm garnished. What did I take with me from this world? Absolutely nothing. It's the Musa Haskell. You all come into this world with clenches, and you leave this world with nothing. So I once said in Drush, that's the chilik between every karbon is accompanied by a meal offering, a mincha. What is the avoida of bringing a mincha? Kmitza. How do you do kmitza? You have a bowl of flour. You put your hands in like this, straight. You slice your hands into the bowl, and then you bend three fingers. You close three fingers. You clench it. You come up. You take the pinky to wipe off any excess in the thumb. That's the kmitza. And you put that in a special klisharis. The avoida of kmitza is to close your fists. Why? You're bringing bread. You're bringing flour. What is flour? Lechem. Kiloy al halechem levado yichye ha'adam. Lechem represents life. You need bread to live. If you are bringing Hashem a gift of bread, life, so the way you bring it is the expression of life. The symbol of life is close fists. Because a newborn baby, when he comes into this world for the first time, his fists are clenched tight. When you bring a zevach, what do? You do zrika. Now, there are different types, it's not so simple, because there are different ways. There's shvicha, there's zrika, there is nesina, there is hazah. But one of the forms of applying blood to, in the Beis HaMikdash, is doing hazah. What is hazah? You flick. You flick the blood. You put your finger into the blood. You go to the pareches. Flick it. Achas lamala, sheva lamata. What are you doing? You flick blood. You open up your hand. Why? What is the karbon? Death. I should be the sacrifice. Hashem doesn't want human sacrifices. So what do you do instead? You bring a zevach. Let this animal be in my place. It represents death. When you experience death, what is the symbol of death? Open hands. Nothing. By life, the dam hanefesh. The way you release the blood on the pareches and on the mizbeach hazov is through flicking it. Now this var doesn't work out well for all other korbanos. Because other korbanos, what is the main way? Chatas, there's no flicking. A carbon chatos, you dip your finger in the blood and you very neatly apply it on the corner, the top corner of the mizbeach. other korbanos, it's called hazah. How do you do hazah? It's called zrika. Zrika. How do you do zrika? You take the bowl, you don't touch the blood. You don't get your hands dirty. You don't get your hands dirty. You take the bowl and you throw it. You throw it towards the mizbeach, lamata michur hasikra, on the wall of the mizbeach, on the corners. You don't actually get your fingers dirty. Other korbanos, the korban pesach, you do shlicha. You pour it very gently on the yisoid of the mizbeach. So either you pour it, or you do zrika, you take the bowl and you just throw it, or korban chatos, you dip your finger, korban oila, you dip your finger and you dip your finger in the blood and you very delicately put it on the corner. But on Yom Kippurim, when the Kohen Gadol goes lefnai v'lefnin, and on the Poroiches, and on the Mizbeach HaZohav on Yom Kippurim, there the Kohen, he dips his fingers into the blood, and you go like this. You open your hand. Opening the hand, that's in contrast to a mincha. Mincha is life. Life is to close your hand. Death is opening your hand. Child is born with closed hands, he dies open hands. Here he's getting us scared. He's telling us life is all about chof chof. The chof kifufa, your palm that is closed, and the chof pshuta, the palm that is open wide. Take the letter chof, you gotta be good to your neighbors. Okay? I almost never go to a wedding, a simcha. I'm a lazy guy. But my neighbors, I don't have a choice. My neighbor invites me on my block. Someone invites me to a simcha. You gotta go. You gotta go. You're gonna be embarrassed. You see them the next day. You didn't go to the simcha. You know, neighbors are neighbors. You don't play around with family and with neighbors. So you have a chaf. Who's the chaf's neighbor? The lamed. The chaf has a neighbor called lamed. So they're a team. There's the chaf kifufa, the chaf pshuta. There's roiv koil, and there is bechoiser koil. A person comes into this world with roiv koil. The fist is closed. And when a person leaves this world, he leaves this world bechoiser koil. The chaf pshuta. What do you take out of this world? Like I always like to tell you, you never ever saw a hearse be followed by a Brinks truck. Never saw it. Never saw it before. Okay?
That was the first time.
It's always the first. Okay? You don't take the money with you. You take nothing with you. That's what it says over here. It's very, very fascinating. The Sefer Hasidim is always telling us, always giving us, putting us to the Chidushim and Sefer Hasidim is just not to be believed. Every other one, he has incredible ideas. Now we go to the next line. The next line is the chol. Next part of the next paragraph. The chol v'rachem al achsa. Nu yisa. Hold yisa. The chol v'rachem al achsa. Ein v'rachem al rachmonis. V'al mi shadin l'rachem alav. Anyone that has rachmonis on an achzar, on a cruel person, the end will be also. It's part of this idea of mida kineged mida. He will not have pity upon a person to whom he really should have pity upon. Einoi merachem al rachmanim will not have mercy on a good person. Okay, rachmanim is a term which we use to describe a person who is deserving of mercy. And he repeats it again. Gal misha din l'rachim alav. So don't abuse the gift of mercy. If a person is guilty, they're guilty. There's a time in life to have rachmanis, and there's a time in life to be cruel. Okay, that's part of the, you know, that in America we are, unfortunately, I think with this too, you know, you have to be very careful who you have rachmanis on. Kigoyin, who is the deserving to have rachmanis? Albanov, let's say v'albanov, v'albanoisav, v'echav, ukroivav, v'ein lohem. If a person has children, relatives, a brother, and is destitute, the yachol l'chalkalam, and you have the means to sustain them, the einu noisin l'chem, harei kol ma sheyesh lo, Yavoli de elu she'eloi zuchus utstaka. The end will be, you'll end up giving your money away to people, the government will take all of your money. You don't give the money to who you have extra money sitting around, the money does not go to people who deserve it, it will go to a place that's undeserved. I remember not too long ago there was some very wealthy gevir. I actually know who it is. I know personally, but I know who he is. And about probably 15 years ago, there was a kufa when the market crashed. Okay, I don't remember all the different kufas anymore. There was a very difficult period of time financially when a lot of people lost enormous amounts of money. So I remember this person, the story was said about this person. He went to Rav Chaim Kanievsky and he said to him, "I don't understand. I lost, you cannot even begin to imagine how much money I lost. Probably, I would imagine, he meant hundreds of millions of dollars. And tens of millions of dollars. I give meiser. I do what I'm supposed to do. I really do. I'll show you my books. I give more than I'm supposed to give. I give away all money. So what's the pshat? Aser to aser, aser b'shul shetis asher. How could it be? Chazal promised things like this is not going to happen if you do. All these years, I'm giving enormous amounts of money to all different types of tzedakah-worthy organizations. So how could it be that I lost these tens of millions of dollars? So I don't know what he told him, but he says, you mean you lost? He told him how much money you lost. He says, you had that amount of money just sitting around? What was it doing sitting around? If you had all that money, it should have immediately been distributed to its stock. What do you mean you had that money? That money shouldn't have been sitting around to begin with. It should have been given away to whatever. He didn't understand how a shayach for a person to have that kind of money and just have it sitting around tied up in investments. What? I really don't know the answer. Yes, a very good question. I don't know. Obviously, he said such a statement is that a person, and unfortunately we do find, unfortunately, the point I want to make is unfortunately, to each his own. Unfortunately, we do know there are situations. Everyone is different. You can generalize every situation, but definitely there are different situations where we hear years later that a person leaves this world, and we never knew this person had enormous wealth. And who gets the wealth? The state, lawyers. It's divided. The money ends up going to the most bizarre places. And we say it's just a chaval when the person was alive. You should have enjoyed it. Okay, if you don't want to give it to tzedakah, so don't give it to tzedakah. But it's a shame that the person left this world and the money was not utilized for some type of benefit, even for the person himself. Why was he so stingy? Why didn't he at least have a better life? Why didn't he have relatives that were so poor? Why didn't he at least, he could have made... Who are we to judge, right? Who are we to judge? You're not here to judge anyone. But at least the Musar Hask of looking at situations like this, and even though we're not to judge, Chas v'Shalom to judge why it was by them, but we have to look at ourselves. Are we in such a situation where we have things that we really should be doing, and we don't want it to be said of us, Achamei v'Esrim, you had opportunities, and you squandered them, and now you have no one to blame but yourself.
In the family,
I guess he's talking. You're right. Why not? I don't know. Good point. Why not? I don't know. Obviously, they come first. Obviously, your parents. No, the obligation to support parents who need the money comes first. Obviously.
Right. He mentions
it. It does mention it. Call Menachem. Also, in Menachem, Masha, when Yochel is over, I was over here. Bonav, Yalbenoisav, Yechav, your brothers, Ukroivav. Doesn't say parents. Before by the Durham, okay, let's say, Vielachem, 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 Harizekom, Ashish, Yavide, Ailush, Ailos, Kuzitstaka. Perish. Liad Bonav, Ubenoisav, Ukroivav, Shaynat Stoka, Shaykh, Biparnasas, some Eladerech Rachmanis. Over here he's saying, Liad Bonav, Ubenoisav, Ukroivav, Shayn, Sadaka, Shaykh, Biparnasas, some Eladerech Rachmanis. It's not called. It's not called tzedakah. It's called Rachmanis. Let's go further. Vafilu hu mifarnei sachedim. Kevin shuyodeh she'av v'imay v'av. Here is av v'imay v'echav v'aniyim. Ve'ena mifarnei sam hu mifarnei sachedim. Oysim asam shu mifarnei l'besoif yuach zorim olaf. If you say this is something that is really, really bizarre. If a person has tzedakah, and the tzedakah should be given to a certain person, that's your priority. And you choose not to give it to where your priority is the proper priority. And you give the tzedakah. You give it to a different. So what do you want from me? I'm a tzaddik. I gave away all my money. I gave away whatever the Torah wants from me. I gave away a chomish. You're supposed to give a tenth. You want to be a chosid, give up to a fifth. I gave away a fifth of my wealth, but not one penny to my local shul. I dive in here every single day. I don't like the people. The gabbai is not nice to me, so I don't like the rabbi. I'm not going to give this shul even one penny. I'm not going to pay membership dues, even though I use the electricity and I walk on the earth, the sacred earth of this shul, every day of my life. Lahachas, Peshita, I'm not going to give an $18 donation when they're making the peel nothing. Instead, I'm going to give millions of dollars to this place in Eretz Yisrael and this institution and this hospital and this and that. So this he'll say, all right, that's his problem, no problem. Right? If you give no tzedakah, you know what? I'm a stingy guy. I'm not going to give to the shul. I'm not giving a penny to anyone. And then one day you hear, the government took away all of his money. Oh, good. Good for him. He got what he deserved, right? Good for him. I get it. You're a stingy person. Hashem gave you a gift. You give the money. You give the money altogether. You want to give the money. You want to keep the money in your mattress? Okay, I get it. But here, I'm not a stingy person. No one's going to say about me that I'm stingy. I give more tzedakah than anyone else. But you didn't give the money to where you should have given the money to. So the Sefer Hasidim, only he says this. Don't try to find someone else who says this. The people to whom you give the money to will be cruel to you. It's a curse. They'll come. He writes over here. The people, though, the Eidim Vaz Mefarnes Achedim, Oysam Atzmam, Shum Mefarnes, Labesoif, Yehiyu, Achzorim Olaf. They will be cruel to you. V'lo Yirachamuhu, they will show you no compassion. V'lo yachziku lo yitav, will never give you credit. Alachesh osimohem, v'yihabchu lo yilisan, they'll come. I mean, it goes on and on, they will come to hate you. Why? Because you didn't do your basic responsibilities. A person in life has basic responsibilities which are common sense. If you have a brother who's poor, so you help him out. You have a fight with him, so what? I remember there was a story. There was a rabbi, he called in one of his Hasidim, who's known to be a very, very wealthy gevir, a philanthropist, and he says, I have a tzorich, who's a very, very poor person, and I want to ask you a tayva to give a large amount of money to help this person. So whatever the rabbi says, how much? The rabbi says, no, we can use $50,000. Sure, the Rebbe wants, no problem. He takes out his checkbook, he writes in $50,000, signs his name, and he says to the Rebbe, to who should I make out the check to?
Your brother.
It's a famous story, okay? And charity starts at home. Oh, my brother, yeah, we all know the stories. Sometimes, unfortunately, we get a little carried away. Well, forget about that. There are just certain basic things. You have an achrayis to the people that you're close with, and the people, the institutions that you use all the time. Everyone, I don't have to allow everyone understands this thing, but he says something here that you never heard before, is that if you want to behave this way, adarabah, the people that you're giving the money that should have been given to the people who you have priority, which with your responsibility in life is, they're going to come to hate you. They're going to come to treat you with cruelty. I mean, come on. You know, if someone writes this today in the newspaper... I don't know how he knows this, but he writes over here, if someone would write this in the newspaper today, there would be 50 letters in the newspaper saying, what kind of nonsense is this? What are you writing over here? What are you talking about? Mind your own business. I'll give the tzedakah to who I want, and the zehu. You give me all these curses? That the people that I give a lot of tzedakah. I was mahanis, so many people. I built hospitals. I built institutions. I supported all over. So no, so I didn't give the local institutions. I didn't give the mikvah $1,000. Big deal. The local mikvah, I didn't give them a few dollars. I gave $1 million to go build mikvahs in Eretz Yisrael, to go build hospitals, to go do this. So I have to go. Let someone else give. You live in this neighborhood? These are your people? You have this kind of money and you give this kind of money? So don't you think, you know, there is a certain expectation, you don't have to give $1 million, but there's a certain basic amount that people, the common men, would expect someone of your means, whose honor and all these other institutions for giving big money, there's a certain expectation. So how do you just brush away something so basic? If that is the common demand, the common logic, what should be given? He says such horrible things, and you're cursed. And they're going to hate you, and they're going to be cruel to you, all those institutions? Amazing. It's not a shocking thing. That's what he says.
There's a psychology here. If you give people money, there's a sense of entitlement. And if you stop giving them, you become...
dependent. Right. Independent. So that's the logic.
Also,
okay, it's true. There is truth to it. You're 100%. It's 100%. There's always another side to the story. In that famous story, make it out to your brother. There's another side to the story. You know that I gave my brother not $50,000. I already gave him already $1 million. And he, what am I? Am I a piggy bank? I'm an ATM machine for him. Let him get a job. You're right. There is always another. I agree with you 1,000,000%. They can't be a dependent. There's another side to the story. But there is a but. And there's balance. There has to obviously be a balance, and you can never generalize on these things. I agree with you 100%. All right, let's stop over here. Take a short break. We're going to learn about Baruch Hu. Baruch Hu es Hashem HaMevorach. What does that do with the parasha? Parasha is Tefillah. Kel nor refon no law. So we'll use it as a springboard to talk about Inyanei Tefillah. Baruch Hu es Hashem HaMevorach.